It's been a whirlwind of activity for the new administration in the first week since the inauguration. For a look at how things have been going and whether there are reasons for concern regarding matters of true religious freedom, I am happy to be joined once again by Rabbi Jack Moline, president of Interfaith Alliance. Jack, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
It's good to see you in this new world order, Welton.
You know, personally, how are you navigating what to focus on in this first week of the new administration as you think about Interfaith Alliance?
That's such a hard question, I have to tell you. I think I've mentioned to you before, a lot of the issues that you and I partnered on 15, 18, 20 years ago that we thought were pretty much resolved now seem to be wide open again. And Interfaith Alliance, as it has participated in some of the successes as we've progressed through these past few administrations, some of the things that we focused on that we thought were behind us are now in front of us again. There are the questions about the Attorney General designate's civil rights and religious freedom record. There are concerns about the Secretary of Education designate's approach to public schools and to vouchers, and especially to the place of religious life in education. There are concerns about the Affordable Care Act and what it will include and exclude and for how long and all sorts of stuff like that. And then literally, Welton, as we were connecting for this interview, there was the news that the president has signed an executive order that restores the ability of the CIA to use methods of interrogation that were designated as torture and declared illegal under the last administration. So I don't know where to start, to be honest with you. I'll be at a press conference today about the new immigration policy, which is clearly targeted at the Muslim community. Very, very distressing times.
Jack, I'm going to make a confession to you that I usually wouldn't make on the air, but I'm going to do so because I have a sense that what I'm feeling is what a lot of our listeners are feeling also. I'm scared. It struck me as I'm in a different world. This isn't the nation that I think I'm a citizen of. And I'm scared and don't know how to confront that or how you and other people who are leaders in Washington are going to confront it.
Let me suggest a couple of things to you. First of all, on a purely human level, you and I, and I imagine most of our listeners, now have a sudden dose of empathy for the people who put Mr. Trump into office. This is how they've been feeling for a long time. And my own sins I have to acknowledge today. I paid very little attention to them. I thought they were part of the past. I thought that the values that they held were values that were atrophying. And their concerns about putting America first, as the president has become fond of saying, were not part of the new sense of living in a global community. But the fact of the matter is that they had fears just like we're feeling right now. Mm-hmm. And someone offered them an alternative to the way things were going, and they reached for it. I can't fault them for acting out of their concern that the world would not be the place that they recognized. But that has to be instructive to folks like you and me. We have to understand that if we want the world to be the kind of place that we think it ought to be, we have to work for it. We have to encourage the people who will be our leaders. We have to get out the vote. We have to be effective in carrying our message. So number one is use this as an opportunity to feel empathy for all of us who are part of this beloved community. The other thing is I think you ought to stay afraid. I think being afraid is an important thing right now. I think that we need to be careful not to allow our fear to govern our politics. That is, after all, what we are reacting to now. But we can't afford to be complacent. We can't afford to allow the kinds of actions we're seeing happen at a federal level to become normative. And we can't allow the kinds of behaviors that are distracting us from the important issues to become what's expected. To be honest with you, I don't care what Mr. Trump did or did not do in a hotel room in Russia, however many years ago. I care about an immigration policy. I care about health care. I care about the rights of people to love and marry whom they choose. And I refuse to be distracted by the things that are just taking me away from what's important in this world. So we should watch these policies, and we should be afraid, and we should act in respectful opposition. If you look at the lineup of people who spoke in the name of religious communities at the president's inauguration, you saw the people that he invited to be a part of that very public ceremony. The presence of Franklin Graham as a spokesman for God was very distressing. Here's a man who has attempted to denigrate people who don't believe the way that he does. And the other signal that people should have seen was the choice of Robert Jeffress, the pastor of First Baptist in Dallas, to deliver the sermon at the pre-inaugural prayer service for the first and second families and their guests. Now, I spoke at that service 4 years ago, and I can tell you that there was a message of celebration and inclusiveness and openness that was present in the words of the very diverse group of people who were part of that service. Pastor Jeffress chose a ridiculous analogy about a wall, which is probably the most clear understanding that there are going to be some people on the inside and some people on the outside. And given his own record of declaring that not only Jews and Muslims and Hindus and Sikhs and Buddhists are going to hell, but so are Christians who don't believe the way that he does, I think we are gearing up for the kinds of uncivil holy wars that Interfaith Alliance has long struggled to diffuse so that people can talk to each other across whatever faith divide that there is. And if you are someone, if you love someone who is a lesbian, gay, or transgender, I think you got to watch very carefully. If you are a member of a religious minority or a friend of someone in a religious minority, I think you have to be prepared that there are going to be challenges to the free expression of your religious life. The most important thing we have to watch for is the protection of the Johnson Amendment, so that pastors and other religious leaders are not able to endorse candidates from their pulpits, so that 501c3 organizations, which are tax exempt, are not able to involve themselves in the political process in campaigns. Because if that happens, it's going to make the Citizens United decision in the Supreme Court look like an attractive alternative.
Yeah. Interfaith Alliance has an important event coming up in just a couple of months, and I'd like for you to talk about that.
We were fortunate to enjoy the sponsorship and the endorsement of Walter Cronkite, the most trusted man in America, in the years between his retirement from CBS News and his death. He was our spokesman and probably our biggest booster, and in appreciation, we named awards for him, the Walter Cronkite Faith and Freedom Awards, and they've been given to some extraordinary people in and out of journalism, in and out of public life over the course of the years. This spring, those awards will be renewed, and we have two extraordinary individuals who were scheduled to receive these awards before the election. One is the extraordinary Diane Rehm, who for many, many years was the morning voice of NPR. The Diane Rehm Show was a place where people could hear honest conversation from all sorts of perspectives. And Diane herself is just a warm and wonderful person. She's the best friend of everybody because she is a true listener. So she'll be receiving one of those awards. And the other award we will be presenting to Khizr Khan. And our listeners are familiar with him from his extraordinary presentation at the Democratic National Convention, from his devotion as a Gold Star parent, from his interview with you just a couple of months ago on State of Belief. And he will be receiving an award from us as well for his role in elevating the American experience. That's all going to happen on April 4th. We are so happy to have the sponsorship for this event here in Washington, D.C., from our dear friend Mitchell Gold of Mitchell Gold and Bob Williams, and from his own nonprofit Faith in America, which is defending the rights of LGBTQ individuals. And that's going to be at his store in Washington, D.C. It's going to be a wonderful stand-up reception surrounded by fabulous furniture and wonderful people.
Jack, we, as you said, have spoken with Mr. Khan on this show not long ago, and we'll have Diane Rehm with us soon. In the meantime, how can listeners get more information about the event as well as about supporting the work of Interfaith Alliance in general?
The event and our work in general can be explored at www.interfaithalliance.org. It's our newish website. It hasn't been up for 3 months, and it has all the information you need about what we're doing at the moment and about the Walter Cronkite Faith and Freedom Awards in April. So I encourage everybody to go there, to hit the donate button 3 or 4 times. But I'm going to ask our listeners to do 2 other things on a regular basis. One is to make an appointment with yourself at least once a week to call your member of Congress, to call one or both of your senators, to express your concerns about what's going on in government today. Don't allow these opportunities to pass. You're not going to get to talk directly to your representatives, but your call makes a difference because they want to hear from their constituency and they want to get reelected. So they want to know what's on your mind. And the other thing I'm going to ask you to do is to express your appreciation to people who serve our country. I know you usually think of that in terms of military service, and I would encourage you to do that as well. But I've talked to a lot of civil servants over the course of the past couple of months. Just yesterday, I gave an address to Immigration and Customs Enforcement in commemoration of their acknowledgement of Dr. King's birthday. And I was struck by the diversity of the people in that room, the dedication that they have in a very difficult area of government. Public servants have come under a certain amount of attack from the administration, and yet their service to this country keeps our government operating and keeps our life free and secure. So if you know somebody who works for the government, someone who's a civil servant, please express your appreciation to them and tell them that they have your support just as much as the people who carry arms on behalf of the United States.
Rabbi Jack Moline is president of Interfaith Alliance, Protecting True Religious Freedom. It's a time when the alliance is particularly important because its work happens at the intersection of public policy and our culture and our society. Jack, thank you for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Well, thank you, Elton, and stay in shape because as my predecessor, I stand on the shoulders of a giant, and keep that back in shape.
Thanks, man.